We're in Sefer Aleshor, in the section of How to Learn Musar. And the last thing that we spoke about was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The way for a person to imbue a message within his inner world is by repeating an idea that he feels has the potential to inspire him again and again. And we spoke about how when you first say it the first few times, then you understand it on one level, maybe an external intellectual level. And then maybe what happens to you, maybe it won't, but there's another stage where you just like, you say, I've got it now, so what am I still saying it for? And then that opens a much deeper world, where you're able to understand it on a world of emotion, where you understand it from a place of much more depth, because I know what it's saying already, so when I keep reading it, where is it imbuing, where is it affecting me, and it takes you in a much deeper place.
Isn't this meant to be what Torah is potentially meant to be,
And this is how to do it. Right. Sosan is not saying chiddush in what the goal is. The goal was not all along. He's just saying method. And the method of how to do it. And he says that by writing something. I think we spoke about the story here about 2 weeks ago of Beryl Wine, right, for the Holocaust story. And so like there are times where you hear something the first time and it immediately enters your heart. But many statements of Chazal that you read, you're aware there's more depth there and you would like to imbue that concept, but it doesn't immediately enter your heart in that same deep way. Vyasosan said the way to bring that into your heart is by repeating it many times with emotion as you say it. Chazara zot tiyeh bekol uvenigina. And it has to be said with a kind of a sing-song, but not a sing-song which is external. So you're just like singing without thinking about what you're doing. But rather, lo'orer hitrakshut vehitpalut. And, right, this is not something which one should necessarily do in public. I mean, it's not supposed to be done as a show because then the very way you're doing it is external. And the whole goal is to make it internal. But if a person does it, you could do it in the Beis Medrash. There's nothing wrong with doing the Beis Medrash. You could do it in the Beis Medrash with other people around, but not to show someone else. You know, obviously, you're doing it just for yourself. But certainly, you don't even have to plan to do it. You could just do it that when you're learning a Sefer Musar by yourself, and you come to a line which you feel like, if that line I knew and understood deeply, and it was the forefront of my mind all the time, it would change the way I am. It would change my whole perspective. And then you don't just move on then, you say, whoa, amazing line, and then just move on. Rather, you take that line and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, with almost a nigun, and as you're repeating it again and again, it enters your heart more and more and more deeply. Al yidei chazara zo mitbarim od yoter adverim. As you repeat it more, you get more clarity, and you understand it more deeply. Uboeret alev hakara shagnuta avera. And as you're reading it, if it has some negative aspect that you're trying to overcome, and you're reading a phrase of Chazal which speaks about how negative that bad thing is, then it deepens your appreciation of how bad that thing is. You will feel off-put by that thing in the future, because now you recognize how terrible it is. Hayefsed va'avdon nimtza behen. You'll recognize how it's causing you loss, how it's causing you to lose yourself. La'harchik nafsho mehem. It will cause you to want to distance yourself from it. So if you're repeating something negative, for example, let's say there's a person who has an issue, but they have a sharp tongue. Meaning that when they're speaking to someone, they'll say a phrase which that person could find offensive. And they realize it's a problem, but they haven't really done much about it, other than like, whenever it happens, they feel guilty. But they don't have a way of behaving or changing. And they come across the phrase, Hal malbun pnei chavo barabim. If you embarrass someone in public, meaning you cause their face to whiten, it's as if you killed them. It's as if you killed him. Now, it says as if you killed him. And then a person says that phrase, oh, it sounds terrible. Chazal take it seriously. But they haven't thought of it very, very deeply. And they take that phrase and they say it to themselves again and again. And as they're saying it to themselves again and again, they're thinking, would I kill that person? This is my friend. And they think more and more deeply. And if I were to kill them, how would my parents feel? How would their parents feel? How would I feel about myself? How would I imagine all the generations of children that they would have that they're not going to have now? And as you imbue the words of Chazal, that Chazal considers if you're killing them. You say, but what does it mean I killed them? I didn't kill them, they're still alive. And you say, but what does it mean to kill someone? It means that they're no longer functioning in the world. And this person, to some degree, is no longer able to function the normal way in the world. And as you're saying it more and more, not only are you having chidushim that come to you intellectually of what these words of Chazal say, but it imbues within you that this is what it's doing. It's actually killing this person. And as you repeat that phrase to yourself again and again, and as it becomes clearer to you how terrible this act is, That will give you the strength that when you find yourself with a clever line, and you're able to catch yourself a split second before you say it, and you kind of, you're usually what would happen is that the social pressure of being funny and saying a witty remark at the right time, which normally would overpower you, and you would say it and then feel guilty, but you'd still say it after having repeated this powerful line again and again and deepened your thought towards what it actually is saying, what it actually means, that will overpower. Because you've imbued deeply within yourself the negativity of what this action is actually doing. Most times when a person sins, they're at that moment just not aware of the negative repercussion of what they're doing. As Chazal say, a ruach shtus comes over a person when they don't see the effects of what they're doing. But when you've imbued deeply what the negative implication is, or the negative consequences are of what you're doing, if you've imbued that deeply by having found a phrase of Chazal that makes sense to you, and then repeated it again and again until it's like it's your default way of thinking, it's your natural way of thinking, deeply you think that way now, then the ruach shtut won't take you over. Because a ruach shtut only can overtake a person who doesn't have an anchor. Meaning you don't have a clear, deep way of thinking about a certain matter. You're confused by the matter, or you've never deepened your thought about the matter. But when you have a very, very clear opinion or a deep understanding of something, then there's no rush that's going to come here. It's obvious to you. Like, mashallah mahadavadome. Let's say a person had a father who used to drink. And when the father would drink, the father would beat them. And for them, alcohol equals destruction. Destruction, that's what it equals for them. So, if they were, it was Purim, and it was them and it was their friend, and they're drinking wine together, and that's okay, like everyone's in control, and then someone offers them a drink which they know will take them way beyond what the measure of Purim needs to take them. And they may act in an inappropriate way. So their friend would say, no, give it to me, but if you convince me and you sing a little bit, then okay, I'll take. For this person, it's poison. It's poison. They deeply know, painfully know how the negative repercussion of what getting drunk means. Because they've experienced it on their flesh. And there's no way they would even, there's no rosh that would overtake them. And so you can do that same act of deeply, deeply imbuing within yourself how this is terrible. And even when I'm tipsy and I'm even a little not sure about myself, there's no way that I would agree to that. Because that for me is poison. How do you make it poison? When you review and you review and you review the same line again and again, where initially it's just an intellectual understanding, but as you deepen your thought and new chidushim come to you and you deepen your awareness and you use imagery, I can't talk enough about how powerful imagery is. How when you use the power of imagery, you take something which is negative and you place it outside of yourself and you talk to it and you say, this is external to me, and you have a clear awareness of what this thing is, that it becomes real for you. You're able to like say, I'm here, this is there, it's not part of me, I'm not confused anymore of like my good self, my bad self, who am I, who is this, a whole confusion. Once you use imagery and you take the bad and you put it external to you and you talk to it and you see, does it have a good intent? Yes, it has a good intent, but right now it's harming me. So I can say, I don't want that good intent, stay out of my life. When you use imagery, you are able to like deepen your awareness of a certain topic until you're not confused about it. You have clarity in it. And therefore, when the Ruach Shtus comes over you and gets you all confused about what you know, what you don't know, and what should you do, and how should you do it, you're able to say, I clearly, certainly know. This is bad, that's external, I'm over here. And only through imagery and chazara of a point again and again until it becomes a deep awareness for you, are you able to make the words of Chazal fire. Like we spoke about before, the coal and the fire. Until then, they're coals. Now you see that Chazal say that, but okay, it's kind of interesting, but doesn't transform me, right? If you want to take dough and put it on the coals, it may boil. But let's say you take a pot of cold soup and you put it on the coals, it may warm up a little bit. But if there's a fire there, then it's going to burn. It's going to boil the soup, right? We want the words of Torah not to warm up us a little bit. Oh, nice words, shkoyach, very nice. Could be whatever. No, you want it to make you alive. You want it to make you able to control your inner world, that you can overcome the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught us that's the way that you do it. Through reviewing it again and again, the matter becomes much clearer. Your heart becomes on fire. You're able to be very clearly aware of the negativity, that when the negativity presents itself, you're able to say, that's not part of me. That was the negative. Now the positive. And also by repeating a positive phrase, a phrase which represents your goal, your vision, in Avodat Hashem. And you find a phrase like that in Maseches Sharim. You find a phrase like that in Chazal. And you take that phrase and you repeat it again and again and again and again. Until it becomes your, not just your motto externally, but it becomes your whole way of viewing the world. You know, there are some people who have a job. And there are some people who have a calling. There are some people who work in cleaning garbage. And for them, it's a job. Like, what can I do? I didn't find anything else to do. And this is how I make money. So I have to do it. Do I like it? I don't know. Who likes cleaning garbage? But I need to earn money and I have a family. That's a job. And there are some people who have a calling. The streets have to be clean. The people will walk here and they'll have nachas ruach through walking. This is what's going to give them pleasure. It's my calling to give people a beautiful environment. Now that's a funny example, right? But what happens when you have a teacher, a Torah educator? What's he doing? Is he doing a job or is he doing a calling? Some people, there's no difference, excuse me on the words, there's no difference between being a garbage collector and a Rebbe. I need money. I need a job. I can do this. I can do that. Okay, I'll do that. It's cleaner. Make chas v'shalom. But that's the perspective they have. I need to do something. That's what I do. It's a job. If they're not going to pay me, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't clean garbage if they didn't pay me. So I won't be a Rebbe if they don't pay me. Chas v'chalila. Some people have a calling. Meaning, what they do, they take money because they need to support the family, but it's nothing to do with the money. It's nothing to do with the money. There's a calling. I'm bringing benefit to the world. I'm fulfilling my life's mission and I'm fulfilling a higher purpose of bringing goodness. I'm a Rebbe, not because they pay me. If they wouldn't pay me, I maybe had to find another job because I need food, but it wouldn't stop me an iota. Now, I'm not asking, what's the minimum requirement of what you want for me to do in this job? If I was a garbage collector, believe me, I would say, what's the minimum you need me to do in this job so that I can like do it and then move on to higher purpose things? But as a Rebbe, don't tell me hours. Like, I don't want to be limited. If I think of an hour, maybe that would make me think I should only do that. Don't tell me. I want to work over time because it's a calling. Every person I speak to, I could change their life. I could imbue them with awareness of Hashem. It's a calling. It's much higher than it. When you learn Musa, you awaken yourself to a calling. You recognize that Avodat Hashem is something which is more than just, you have to do this halacha, you have to do that halacha. Okay, this is the job. It's not about doing your job. It's about becoming aware that you have a calling from Hashem. And when you find a phrase in Chazal, or a phrase in a Musar Sefer, which awakens you to the purpose of what you're doing, say that phrase again and again and again and again until it becomes your awareness of, I have a calling from Hashem and I'm fulfilling my calling. This is my calling and I'm fulfilling it. I'm living up to it. And that transforms the person entirely. And like we said, what's the nafka mina? The nafka is when they're not paying you anymore. Or in other words, when you don't see a clear benefit from it. If you're doing a job, you'll stop. Right? If you haven't learned Musar and it doesn't speak to you enough, you'll stop. I once mentioned a terrible story. A Rebbe who's a friend of mine, once met a previous Talmud of his, and the Talmud told him that he's involved in a type of work which financially is against the halacha. A financial work which is against the halacha. And the Rebbe said, yeah, we learned in yeshiva, this is not according to halacha. And the boy said to him, and this tore the Rebbe's heart, and he came to tell me, like he says, like, be careful, like when you're teaching Talmudim, that they have a clear awareness of halacha, that it takes them beyond yeshiva. And he told me this story. He said, the boy said to him, that if the Torah it would be able to convince me enough that it's worthwhile, that can overtake the calling of being able to earn millions, then I'll listen. But right now, the calling of the millions overpowers the voice of the Torah telling me that it's wrong. That's what this boy said. I mean, he's aware that it's wrong. But he said, but the opportunity that he has, the calling that he has of earning so much money, that's more powerful to him. He's aware that there's a problem there, but okay, in the meantime, that's just what calls me, than the halacha. And the Rebbe said, at that moment, I realized I'd failed as a Rebbe. Because so what? I taught him Gemara. But if when he's put the test of choosing halacha over money, and he chooses money, then what did he do in yeshiva? Like, what was the purpose of him doing yeshiva? He learned that Torah is a job that you do, but it's not a calling. That's the nafka minah. The nafka minah is when you're put to a test. If it's something which is a calling, then it will override every other power. It will override every other value because it's your calling for Hashem. So when you're learning Musar, and the goal of Musar is to come to a place where there's a calling, where Hashem is calling you, and you're always looking to do what His will is, and you find a phrase that calls you, that gives you that vision, that is higher than any psak halacha. It's a recognizing that you're doing the will of Hashem, and that will always overpower any other value that comes your way to do the will of Hashem. You have to imbue and imbue and imbue and imbue that message. And the way you do that is by saying it again and again and again and thinking about it. And as you think about it and you say, but what would happen if I was tempted with this? Then would this value still stand? And maybe initially you would say no. And then you repeat it to yourself again and again and again until you say, you know, actually I would. I would be able to overcome that. And what happens if my kids would annoy me? Like let's say a person's working on anger. And believe me, anyone here who's ever been angry, you've never ever been tested in anger on the level until you have children. It's a different world. It's an olam acher. I can tell you with pretty certainty I can tell you that I've never felt angry in my life until I had children. Let me put it this way. I probably had when I was a young kid. But I don't remember a situation that I got angry as far as I remember. Until I had my first child and she was about a year old. Yeah, which is the age where she has enough emotional maturity to know that she has to follow my will and not do what she wants to do, obviously. And she, you know, I told her to sit at the table and she went somewhere else twice or something. And I felt myself boiling. I'd never in my life experienced this. Like, she's not listening to me. I didn't formulate those words, but and I remember like getting up and I was about to shout at her and I thought, what are you doing? You're such a fool. She's 1 year old. She doesn't have choice here. She's acting her age. She's doing what she's supposed to do. Why are you getting so worked up? But I don't know, I just found myself getting angry. And at one point I even remember I shouted. I was like, Tzvi, like what is with you? And I immediately was calm afterwards. It didn't like carry through or anything. Because like the moment you notice what you're doing, you feel an idiot. Like this is a 1 year old child, what are you thinking? And the Baruch Hashem was able to overcome. But I realized like children can bring out in you something you never knew experienced, meaning you have latent potential within you of negative midas that you're just not in a situation where they've come out. If you haven't prepared yourself in Musa, then when those situations come, you'll discover that you have a beast within you that you never knew existed. I always thought I had good midas, right? Then I had a child. And then I realized that I have good midas on some level because, you know, but I was never, when have I ever been tested? I can't remember ever being tested. I wasn't tested at home so much. I wasn't tested in the yeshiva so much. Like what, someone wanted to open a window or close a window. No, that didn't bother me so much. Like, to the degree that I had to shout at someone. I was never tested. But my child not listening to my will, that was a test. It was the first time I was tested. And suddenly I discovered this beast. And then you start working on it. According to the degree of musa you've learned. And what you've imagined yourself imbuing a Torah value. Then when that test comes your way. I've never been tested in money so much. I've never been tested to a degree like this person, the story I just told was, where millions on the one side, then I've never been tested like that. I've never been tested to a degree where millions have been on offer to me and I have to, you know, lie or something to get them. I've never been tested. But I imagine that a person who's never learned Musar, they may fail. They may say, just don't think for a few minutes and sign and give it, and then you'll like try and reflect on what just happened. But just don't think for a few minutes in the meantime. Right? But if you've learned Musar, then you've imbued that value and you have a calling for Hashem, then when that test comes your way, you've already set yourself up for success. And the way you do that is by saying a phrase again and again and again and envisioning yourself in different life situations. And what does that mean? Does it even mean this? Does it even mean that? Does it even mean that? And you say, yes, but does it? Do I believe that? What would happen if I was in a situation? Slowly but surely, you develop your inner world. Hit pa'alut zo mashira roshem belev afilum shochachim ota lachar zman. This enthusiasm, this getting worked up about an Torah idea, it leaves an impression on your heart, even if you're not consciously thinking of it as you go on. Meaning, it's not that you read this idea and you stay on that same level of enthusiasm for an hour later, a day later, 3 days later. No, you forget about it. But it's not that you've forgotten about it, really. It's still laid imbued within you. I mentioned the other day about Fleur Elise that I played with my kid, my daughter. Right? So I didn't play it for 20 years, but it was still imbued within me. Meaning, when you learn Musar to a point where you have a deep awareness of Hashem, or the negativity of a bad thing, or the positivity of a good thing, and you have a calling, then even if you're not activating that calling now, but you still have imbued within you the response that you need for the time when you need it. It's a bit like when you go to the army, or if anyone's ever done martial arts, then you train yourself to respond to a certain situation without thought. Right? In the army, if you have to like start thinking through all procedures, it could be too late by the time you respond. So a lot of the training in the army is to train you until it becomes a reflex that you respond in a certain way to a particular situation. Or in martial arts, you have all the forms that you learn, you have all these forms that you're deeply aware of them, that it's like inbuilt within you, so that if someone would come and grab your shoulder, you already know how to do the twist and the sweep, and the, you know how to do them. You don't think, wait, they said that if they come from behind, you have to do form 4, section 3 with the sweep. You don't do that. It's a natural default. Now, are you walking through the streets thinking, if someone comes to me from behind, don't forget form? Now, you don't even think about it. In fact, it becomes so innate that if someone would ask you what to do, you won't even be able to explain. Because you'll have to say, wait, let me just try it out. Oh yeah, in the third section, the fourth part, you do that. You can't even explain it yourself, but it's within you. It's just become innate within you. It's latent potential within you. It's moved away from the external world. It's gone into the internal world. It's almost no longer in Vayadata Hayom. It's purely in Vashivota Elevavecha. Meaning, you don't have to be actively thinking of Musa the whole time. But you have to imbue Musa within yourself to a point that when the test comes, when you're triggered by anger or frustration or upset or by a test of money or a tefillah, that you want to awaken yourself to the awareness of Hashem, or I will say negative things, it can be positive things, when you want to come and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you want to say, I'm in the awareness that I'm standing before Hashem and talk to Hashem with an awareness, that you're able to enter that place because you have it naturally. It should be that you've trained yourself that when you take 3 steps back and then you take 3 steps forward, that very action of doing that enters you in a world of awareness that you're before Hashem. Naturally, it just happens. Because you have connected that action with... Now, the only way you can do that, obviously, is if many times, whilst taking that action, you've thought to yourself, I have awareness that I'm coming to stand before Hashem now. Hashem, Sivatai Tiftach, Ufiyah Gedech, without you Hashem I can't do, I need your help Hashem. And then you start. And if you've done that with an awareness many times, also with the awareness, and this is important, that this action is connecting you to the fact that you're standing before Hashem. But it's not enough that you think, I'm standing before Hashem. You also have to be aware of this action is bringing you to the awareness that you're standing before Hashem. Right? You have to make that connection between the action and the thought. Then what will happen is that in the future, even when you don't think, I'm standing before Hashem, just the very fact that you take the 3 steps back and 3 steps forward, that will naturally bring you to the awareness that you're standing before Hashem. You have to make those defaults. You have to make those automatic responses. Your whole life you're doing it in some way or another. Take control of it. You're always connecting actions to thoughts. Your whole life you're doing that. But if you don't think about it, then you'll be creating random things to go with other things. And it will be unfortunate because you probably will do a lot of negative ones as well. But if you activate it, you can do positive ones. So the goal of Musa is that you make it your natural way of thinking. You make it your default thought. That even if you're not activating it right now, but it's just become your innate way of thinking. Okay, there's a lot more. And I know I'm not reading a lot, but I feel these messages are so crucial. Because this is Musa. This is the training of how to do Musa. And if you learn and understand these principles clearly, then every other Musa book is now open to you. And if you don't understand this principle clearly, then every other book is closed. Because you can read the words and translate it, but the effect that it's having on your heart won't necessarily have that effect. Yishar koach. Whose was this? Besimcha, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.
Pleasure, have a good day.
Thank you.